Do you remember the first time you ran out here at King's Home? How did that feel?
I don't think it was the very first time, sort of thing, but I remember sort of like when, you know, because you had a sort of the lesser sides that you went through, no disrespect to sort of like Charlton's Australia of the world, just the Lydney's of the world sort of thing, because you went through those sort of fixtures before you got anywhere, sort of like, you know. But I remember sort of like thinking, you know, when I was a long time, it was sort of like Leicester sort of thing, where there's a big crowd, a full house, and then like that sort of time, they thought, well, this is it now. And the whole expectation, the whole sort of atmosphere lifted, and it was a massive difference sort of thing, and that's what it felt. And I always remember it was being Leicester. It may not be the first game or after the game, you go, it's certainly different, but I remember thinking that at the time, because you know they had a lot, you know, as ever, sort of like, you know, a big, you know, packed with stars in Leicester, and everybody came to watch, and you know, a big crowd, and then you thought, yeah, this is again going back to United, your debut. This the same thoughts still stood that you wanted to do well, you didn't want to let no one down, but it was just a bigger stage and a bigger audience to sort of like watch you succeed or fail, really. And so and rugby's about that, it's a mental thing. So, you know, if you're up for it mentally, it carries you a long way, and the atmosphere, you know, does that. It would be King's Own for you know, people who play for Gloucester.
Yeah. Well, obviously that was the special ground for you to play at. Were there any away grounds that you particularly liked?
Again, everyone says about, you know, I always enjoy going to Leicester sort of thing. I play against Leicester a lot, and I enjoyed it. At the end of the day, especially in the early days, like Gloucester, Leicester, Northampton, you went to those sort of grounds. Those are the nice grounds because there was more people watching. You know, I've played Harlequins with Will Carlin, and there's been 1,100 people there. You know what I mean? And you know, and you know, no stands around three quarters of the ground, and it's been open field. And you know, a bit of barking with, you know, more people watch us play against Saracens than to sort of like watch Cinderford, really. There's like 300 odd people in a sort of like first class game, and you know, for those sort of things, you know, and you can see it now, it's massively different. But you know, probably you went like those grounds better, because like Leicester's, Northampton's, and sort of like going to Cardiff and Leslie as well, sort of thing, because they have big crowds, and it was always good to play in front of a big crowd.
In those early days, I mean, you must have come up against some pretty experienced props. Who sticks in your mind as bringing your education?
I was in a position, so I don't think everyone says about sort of like propping, and like now you can probably count propping. Well, in mind, I wasn't like a destructive scrummager sort of thing. I tried, so I made it steady, and again gradually get better and better at it. But every person I played at that level, I always thought was a difficult opponent. There was never easy, and it is if you play a charity game tomorrow and you've got to put your head in the scrum, it's never easy because you're putting your head in the scrum. That's how I always look at it. But you know, if you have to name people, the likes of Leonard, sort of like Raintree, people like that, who were all the way through my career sort of thing, I played against them quite a lot. They were sort of like formidable football, you know, opponents. They were internationals at the side. They came with an aura with them sort of thing. And you know, there was like Richard Lowe at Bath, Gareth Chilcott, those sort of people in the early days. You know, they were difficult opponents, and they was hard men as well. You know, it's, people talk about sort of like rugby now, but I don't think you got the characters and the hard men that you have. You know, it's just a different game than when it was then to what it is now. And I got to be careful about talking about the amateur side of this too much, as opposed to not forgetting that I sort of like had a long stretch of playing professional when it was changing over, and you could see the change over, and people, how they did it, and people got more powerful, and it became bigger, and then everything sort of like got more difficult. And obviously I was going the wrong way with age and stuff like that. So, but I was glad, you know, but those people stand out in my mind, because those are the sort of like guys that I played most against. Weekend, you know, Andrew Sheridan, when he came through later on, you know, from second row, I played in the 1 year, and I don't know what all the chat was about, really, and played in 12 months later, then I realised sort of thing, it was slightly different. And you know, people like that, is an unfair play to them. You know, the big strong boys, and the law's changing. So you know, you look at a video of say a game 20, 30 years ago, and they put their head in the scrum, and the scrum went on for 5 minutes before even the ball came in. Do you know what I mean? No. And then they complain about it, how long it takes to set up. You watch a video now, and you know, the ball sort of could be kicked away on the 22 and they're still down in the scrum, sort of like waiting for the ball to be back put into, you know, to hook it, which is incredible. And like the impact, stuff like that, because that's where art of scrummaging and where you was in, and then that's when it was going on then. But now it's like it's impact is key, you know. If you get the impact in a good body position, you should be okay, sort of thing. So I think the technical aspects of it still there, but they're just different. And you know, I think it, you know, they're getting too much depth of it. They've got a bit of an issue with it at the moment, which would be difficult to get over because of the, you know, like I say, the impact. And the impact, if you get it right, you stay out. If you get it wrong, you either go down or up, which is a shame. And people don't overly come to see scrummaging anymore like they used to, sort of thing, which is, again, just out of different sports in different eras, which is, I'm not saying it's right or wrong, but just how it is at the moment.
Yeah. It's still a very important part of the game, though, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, definitely.
You
yeah.
don't see many teams, even today, who are suffering in the scrum yeah. who win.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, you say, I take the point of it is important, but, you know, it gets to the point where the referees have got a referee, and you know how many free kicks penalties are given in a penalty now compared to sort of like 20 years ago. It just doesn't happen, like, you know what I mean? You know, you'd have to, like, you know, foot up, sort of thing, was it probably a bigger thing then than it is now. You know, you never get penalty foot up now, and you know, they just seemed that on the angle, there's no of that sort of thing. Like years ago, it was a case of, right, it was a pushing contest sort of thing. And now, it's, like I say, it becomes an impact contest. And if you can win the impact, you'll do well. But yeah, I agree, it still stands, a big part of, rugby unions, and long may it continue.
Was there a lot of chat going on in the front row?
Yeah, we had days gone by sort of thing, and there was chat. So, and again, once you knew, let's do it again with the past masters, Alex, like, you know, where Rowntree would go in and sort of like, all right, Deekson, yeah, and he'd be talking to Martin Johnson and said, John, stop pushing, Deekson can't cope with it, sort of thing, like, you know what I mean? And like stuff like that all the time, like, you know what I mean? He cracks, you know. And I remember West, who's now at Northampton, and he was the hooker for Leicester, and he was on the wrong side, and he got a right good kick in the once, and someone punctured his back of his thigh, and he had sort of like a real hole in the back of his thigh, sort of thing, and there was blood coming, but he couldn't actually see it. And then the second rows came in, so they pointed it out to him, sort of thing. Then all the six of us in the front row, including him, sort of like, oh my word, that was the most horrendous thing. But we were just about to go in, and then we couldn't see nothing. And then he turned around, you could see this big hole. And the ref said, you got to get him off here. And he said, no, I'm going down for this one, because then I might get someone who actually did it. And I know who's done it, and all the rest of it. So it was, but the ref sent him off, and he never came back actually after that sort of thing. So, but so like years later, when I Barbados tour with him to South America, and he had great joy in it. When first time I met him for a couple of years, so like dropping his trousers and showing the big scar that he had sort of like given to him on King Zones. So I can call him, you've lost the boys, all the names under the suns. You know, stuff like that. Again, latterly, as the game sort of like got quicker, and a bit sort of more serious, really, I suppose. You know what I mean? It was dying out, sort of thing, like, you know what I mean? And, you know, but I think like the banter in rugby sort of like renowned for it, really, and long may it continue. But and like I say, sometimes, which, you know, I have wrote in sort of like when I wrote in the Citizen about stuff, so sometimes, you know, you can take yourself a bit too serious at times, sort of thing, like, you know what I mean? I know there's a big pressure on winning and stuff like that, but you know, if you're a good rugby player and you're enjoying it, then you ultimately you will play well. There's less stress, sort of thing, but you know, it's living with both of it, I suppose. But at the time there were some characters around, sort of thing, that would sort of like, you know, and give you, you know, you got to give physically and the banter, so you got to give it back as well, like, do you know what I mean? And as opposed to then getting on top of you in any department, really.
Well, I guess your early seasons, you know, in the amateur game, you didn't have the same level of TV coverage and sightings afterwards, did you?
So, yeah.
Sort of encouraged more than play, didn't you? I'll be honest.
Yeah, when I first started, like I said, back in the combination, it was a brutal game. Yeah. A brutal game. And, you know, and I got a 20-year-old son, sort of thing, and, you know, he goes on about with this relentless, and I just think, sort of thing, you know, you don't know half, you know what I mean? But yeah, I'm not saying that's the right way, but that was, you know, and God, you go to Wales and stuff like that, like, you know what I mean? It was World War III kicking off every time, you know what I mean? And I think if you went to Wales and played like we did on the Wednesday nights, then mainly when I was in United then, and they used to pick sort of like Wednesday side, Saturday side, that sort of thing. And if you could give as good as you got, they would respect you and you'd probably get a better game out of it. As opposed to if you showed away from it, then it was gone, like, you know what I mean? You might as well get on the bus. Like, and that's why they always like Gloucester, because Gloucester always, you know, is always full up with tough men sort of thing. It was, you know, who do have a go at it sort of thing, which I think they respected and they liked, because, you know, it was a case of, and because we was English, obviously, you know, very difficult for Harlequins in those days to travel on a Wednesday to, you know, South Wales and the geography of where we are. So they actually enjoyed it, you know, as we did when they came to us, you know, playing sort of like Anglo-Welsh either, really, you know, so it was, you know, Anglo-Welsh contest.
Yeah, well, there have been more than 100 years of the Gloucester versus the Big Four in Wales.
Yeah, yeah.
The big contests of the season.
Yeah, right? yeah. And like with the way it is now sort of thing, and that's, again, yeah, that is the Heineken Cup sort of thing, or those sort of competitions where you have a chance to play different people, and that is why the Heineken Cup is sort of one of the reasons I think is so successful, is that you can, you know, pit your wits against other people that traditionally, well, this rugby club have played, i.e. the Welsh.
Yeah.
I think, but then again, you can go further afield to France, where everything else
is French. It's the French front rows,
exactly. Yeah, and you know, and French front rows, Welsh front rows, you know, they all play a bit different sort of thing, which is interesting. But the fact is, you know, it adds a bit of, you know, spice to it all, and enriches the history of the club sort of thing.
You had an encounter with the French boxing champion, I think.
Yeah, so I did, yeah. I came off very second sort of thing. And got laid out as well. And didn't get carried off, but I had to go off sort of thing. But yeah, but he was a brute of a man.
Talk us through what you remember of that.
I remember sort of like, it was a coincidence of bad luck, actually. He was second row and I was front row. And their prop had to go off. And again, this was back then, they bring, you know, you don't automatically bring a prop on. They brought a second row on, a back row. I think it was a back row, someone went to the second row and he went to the front row. Then of course it got even worse then, sort of thing. But he gave me a good sort of like left uppercut, and he cut me sort of like badly, like, and so I had to get off. And the only, you know, the cavalry, which was Chris Catlin from fullback, I don't know why or how, one Pats was coming in, but he went off with me, but he never came back on because he was knocked out in one punch. Well, the second punch, mine was the first punch, and he was the second punch. So, and it was sort of, you know, and then Katz was in a mess in the change room, sort of like concussion. The doc was stitching my mouth up, and I sort of like, I had 22 stitches in my bottom lip, sort of thing, from one punch. So he'd done a good job. And my son, who sort of like at the time used to sort of stand with his grandfather just on the tunnel, and he was very young then, and they let him through to come in, sort of thing. Of course, I was led there, and obviously your mouth, so it pours with blood anyway, sort of thing. So I was covered in blood. And not only is the doc sort of trying to get me on, everyone shake down to get me back out there on the pitch as quick as they can. Then my son comes into the physio as well, sort of thing. And he takes one look at me, and he starts crying. Then the doctor passes by him. You can imagine it now, can you? Sort of thing. So I've got the family in there crying over me. But the doctor trying to pacify me, son. And sort of, no, he's all right, your dad's all right. And he said, oh, that's it. And then, of course. And then he started, you know, absolutely sobbing his heart out when he realised I was actually going back on after he stitched me up then, sort of thing. So it was like, my lip was hanging out there, sort of thing. And then I went back on. But luckily, the another reshuffle, and he was back to the second row then. But then all I could think of, oh, please don't put one through again. Like, do you know what I mean? So, yeah, he was, again, like that. He was a tough man, but he was, you know, he's a good man as well. Like, you know,
who was that? What was his name?
I can't remember. He's,
Pugliotta.
That's it.
The Biarritz banger.
Yeah. I was just going to say that's the way I knew him. So like, yeah. He was sort of like a man mentioned of a man. And a good boxing champ, because he had a bar in France as well that he went to as well. Because he went to after the first game, and there's all sort of like his boxing photos of, you know, when I think he's in the army or something like that. But yeah, he's a very good, you know, all-range sportsman there.
But there have been some encounters between Gloucester and Biarritz. In fact, there's a real relationship between the fans these days.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, and like so, you know, I went to Toulouse this year, and you know, I've been to Agent as a supporter, and I think, you know, it's absolutely brilliant of you know, anybody who wants a weekend away, you know, for sport wise, and if you're a Gloucester fan, of going there, sort of like, you know, getting involved, because the French like it as well, because they do like the culture of sort of like more people come over and sort of like, you know, have a drink with them and sort of like relay stories, and then obviously because it's a quick turnaround, if they're coming back to here sort of thing, then you can show them around, and we've actually done that ourselves sort of thing with, you know, I go with Long Island Veterans now sort of thing, and it is a, you know, a wonderful advert for Gloucester City as a whole, as opposed to the rugby, like, because everyone's well behaved and having a good side, and obviously you get the cherry and whites everywhere sort of thing, so it is a good spectacle as well, which is nice. I enjoy that.